Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
And I'm Molly Bay.
This is going to cover the All 22 from the Saints game from Sunday.
How'd it look?
It didn't look as bad as I thought. I could definitely say, and I said this after watching the game, I think, that there really wasn't any single part of the game that you can blame for this. Definitely special teams, you know, they had the mess ups.
The punt, the blocked punt.
The blocked punt, that was on Lynch. The number 7 for the Saints, Hill, their third string quarterback, he did a stunt or a twist, however you want to call it. And you rarely see that on punts anyhow. But it just caught Lynch by surprise. He was blocking the outside guy, and Hill came in around the corner and got by him. And they just had a straight shot for the blocked punt. But that blocked punt, or two missed field goals, was really the difference in the game. That's what?
Wow, 3 plays.
13 points right there.
3 plays.
Yeah, 3 plays and 13 points in 3 plays. So special teams definitely had a hand in this. But it was pretty much a failure all around on everybody's part. Wide receivers, I counted 6 dropped passes.
Godwin was a big culprit.
I think Braid even had a dropped pass.
Yeah, but he had 2 touchdowns, so you can't really mad at him.
Can't believe he's got the most touchdowns on our team with 6.
Wow.
He's a backup tight end, second string tight end. He's got...
OJ probably would have had it, right?
OJ definitely would have had it. Yeah, we're stacked at tight end, that's for sure. You know, everybody's been talking about the offensive line, and... You know, I complain about the offensive line a lot, but they were not the failure in this game. Definitely not near as bad as everybody's making them out to be. Actually, they did very good considering.
Does the Saints have a good defensive line?
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
I guess you got to be if you're the number one rush defense.
Yeah, they're definitely very good tacklers. The getting to the passer, a lot of it was in the second half when we were down in garbage time. They knew we were going to pass, so their front four were just able to just go hog wild and try to get to Winston, which they did. And I think that right there, because, especially the last two drives, it was just us trying to pass the ball and them just going at it, and they were able to get to Winston and stuff, that it made everybody say, oh, the offensive line was the problem. But they did relatively decent throughout the rest of the game. Now, we do not have a spectacular offensive line. I've been saying that for years. But compared to how they normally play, they played relatively well during this game. Dotson had 6 bad plays.
Whoa.
That's way out of the normal for him.
You think he's still injured, recovering from that injury? It was a hamstring and a knee injury.
I would think so. He shouldn't have been out there. They should have had Wester out there. Wester has been playing better.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have 2, maybe 3 bad plays from Wester in the past 2 games. So I think if they would have had Wester out there instead of Dotson, it would have helped out quite a bit.
Like, just give him another week to rest up if he's not 100%.
Right. Yes. Yeah, 2 of those bad plays were in garbage time, so, you know, you can't. But, you know, the penalties, he had some bad penalties.
But if you're playing a starter like that that's been on the team for, 9 years, however long he's been there.
I think 10.
And he says, okay, I'm good to play. I don't think you can bench him for one. I don't think you can tell him, you know, you need another week. And then once he gets into the game and he starts sucking like that, I think it's hard to bench him because then you get the questions, what's wrong with Dotson?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then if you lose, everybody's like, oh, you know, you should have had Dotson in there.
It would have been
better. But Bennett played relatively well.
You know, everyone's given Donovan Smith a lot of flack this game.
They should give Donovan Smith flack every game. This game wasn't any worse than he normally is.
Oh.
I don't understand why everybody's all of a sudden piling on him now.
I wonder if it's just a culmination of the whole season and him being in a contract year.
Yeah, and they see these bad plays where he's not putting forth a lot of effort and, you know, those things get highlighted and people go, oh, well, you know, he's not doing anything. They should have been saying that since he's been here. He hasn't changed at all.
Right.
He hasn't gotten better. He hasn't gotten worse. He's just Donovan Smith, you know? I mean, he's gonna be okay for the majority of the game, but then he's going to give you at least 4 plays a game that are going to suck. And that's just, you can't have that from a left tackle.
And he's been on the team since 2015, and he's gotten no better.
Right. Yeah, he should be so much better. I mean, he's played every down for the past how many years? 3 or 4 years? 4 years?
And I think that's the criticism of him, is that just a total lack of effort. He's just not even trying to get better.
Right. He really shows a lack of effort out there sometimes, and it's quite annoying. But this has been going on for years, ever since he's been here. I'm a fan of let's get another left tackle in the draft or in free agency or something, because he's just not cutting it over there.
Do you re-sign him, but just give him competition?
Well, I wouldn't re-sign him for a long contract. I would give him, gosh, I don't know.
But he wants top tackle money.
He better not get top tackle money. For some reason, really like him.
At least not here. He can go elsewhere and get that top tackle money.
I don't know. His game film just doesn't show anything where you go, this guy's top tackle money.
Yeah.
And all of his mistakes are, a lot of them are just really bad. But you can't knock him for being an Iron Man. I mean, he's out there all the time.
Yeah.
So that's a plus, you know. Availability is accountability. Yeah, Benenock got beat by a spin move in the fourth quarter in garbage time, but he just gets beat by a spin move every time. I've never seen him beat a spin move.
He's just not reactive. He does not have
He's got a lot better
reaction time.
No, he doesn't. He's still learning.
It's not his strength.
No, it's definitely not his strength. Yeah, there was one play where him and Jensen were double teaming this guy, and Benenock turned to help Dotson, and Benenock thought that Jensen had the guy. They both had the guy at first, and Jensen turned to look to see if Marpet needed any help, and they both just left the guy wide open. The guy jumped back and forth. He did this funny move, you know, to try and confuse him, I guess, to let him, you know, so they wouldn't know which guy he was going for. But they both just quit on the guy at the same time. And left the guy open, and he just ran and ended up getting a hit on Winston. But, you know, it was a 3-second hit. Now, I'm of the opinion if an offensive line can hold guys for 3 seconds, that's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you want them to be able to hold guys forever, but 3 seconds is plenty. Quarterback only needs 3 seconds back there. But that's something that we talked about with the Carolina game, and I said they needed to do with this game as well, these little dink-and-dunk passes, move the ball slowly down the field. You know, don't make Winston stand in the pocket. They didn't do that. There was hardly any dinking and dunking. All the pass routes were mid-range. I mean, he had checkdowns with the running backs every now and then, but most of the pass routes were mid-range and long, and he ended up having to stay back there too long. And he was scrambling a lot when he didn't need to. Now, I think that's because he just doesn't trust his offensive line, and rightfully so. But they were blocking pretty decent for him, and he was just getting happy feet back there. He was making bad decisions. Winston, just about everybody is at fault for losing this game. Nobody played well, except maybe the defensive line in the secondary. Maybe. I mean, they made their mistakes too, but they weren't as consistently screwing up as much as the receivers, the offensive line, Winston. Running backs did pretty good. They did great blocking, of course. They're way underrated for their blocking, especially 32 Rodgers. He's a great pass blocker. He actually had a play in here that was fantastic. He was on the left side of Winston. New Orleans blitz 6, and Rodgers was on the left side, and he went to block the blitzer coming from the left, but Smith picked that blitzer up. And out of the corner of his eye, he saw a linebacker coming around the right side, full fucking speed. And Rodgers caught sight of him and ran all the way across the line and blocked him. It was really good.
He's got a lot of power behind him, and you see that when he's running too.
Yeah, when he makes contacts with these guys, they usually stop in their tracks.
Yeah. Which he's small, but he's like stout.
Yes.
So he's just
he usually goes low with them, but sometimes he'll hit them right in the chest, and he stops guys right in their tracks. Our running backs are highly underrated for their pass protection. I really think that's probably why Cutter keeps Rodgers in there as much as he does, because he's just so good at pass blocking. Marpet had one bad play. which is about standard for him. He usually has one or two bad plays a game, which is that's great. That's
yeah,
good.
Considering he's in every play, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, our offensive line plays every play, except for Benenacht will rotate him out. I think Kappa had two or three plays this game. They kept Benenacht in there most of the game.
Oh.
So when Benenacht had five bad plays, that's out of, what, 60? So it's not that bad, really. And two of those were in garbage time. And one of them was the disastrous spin move that he just cannot seem to get. But I'm starting to like Benenacht. He's getting ferocious out there.
Jensen's rubbing off on him.
I think so. He's really enjoying that pancaking people. He did it twice this game.
Oh, he did.
Where he pancaked people. And then one time he went to pancake somebody and missed them and flopped on the ground.
Oh, no.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. The guy was on the ground and he went to shove him. Yeah, the guy was on the ground and Benenacht went to push him and fall on top of him. And the guy kind of moved out of the way a little bit. So Benenacht just fell forward. But yeah, he pancaked, gosh, I can't remember who it was. 98, Sheldon Rankins. He pancaked him twice. They were really good, man. He just threw him to the ground and jumped right on top of him. Blah! Belly flop. He's liking that. He's getting violent out there. I like that. So, you know, at the beginning of the year, I was, you know, Benenacht needs to be benched till he gets better. Now I'm like, hey, I kind of like his play. Because, you know, get him out there, let him get used to all these crazy stunts and twists and spins that everybody does, and he'll be fine.
Interesting. That's good to hear. You want people on the Bucks to succeed.
Yeah, you can't fire everybody that plays bad to start off with. You know, you can't expect everybody to be elite players right out of the bat.
He's not a rookie, right? He's been on the team for a few years, hasn't he?
Yeah, but this is his first year starting.
Okay. And that's only because Evan Smith got injured.
Right. But yeah, Winston had he was making some bad decisions. He just really seemed off his game. And he was scrambling out of the pocket a lot when he didn't need to. There was quite a few instances of that. He was throwing in the coverage too. The Saints did a really good job with sticking to our receivers. He almost always had to throw in coverage, but when he was throwing them in coverage, he wasn't throwing them really good enough for the receivers to get them. And he was throwing the ball a lot while the receiver was standing still and the coverage guys were standing right there with him. So they would just stick their hand out and bat it down. Quite a few could have been intercepted. He threw some high passes to Humphreys that could have been intercepted. They went over his head, or Humphreys jumped up and they bounced off his hand and everything. And we're lucky. They could have very easily had two or three interceptions.
And Humphreys, I mean, he'll try for a ball, but he doesn't have the size to be a jump ball guy.
Right. Yeah. You got to get it right in.
Not like Evans. Like Evans for sure.
He did have
OJ.
He did have that one catch that was just fantastic. Humphreys did, where he jumped up, caught the ball, and then got hit. His helmet came off.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even understand how that wasn't a penalty.
Well, the guy hit him with his shoulder in the shoulder, so.
Right, but he was a defenseless receiver.
You just can't hit him in the head or neck area, right? But that was great on Humphrey's part.
I know. He's a tough guy, man.
He looks tough, too. When his helmet came off, he was, like, grimacing. I was like, man, that guy looks like he's ready to eat the concrete or something. Brent Grimes.
We talked about him in the preview.
Yes, we did. I think he's just quit. I think that he needs to have a hurt thumb like DeSean Jackson did and just not play anymore.
Well, you say that about DeSean Jackson, but he's still talking about he wants to play this season and next season.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We will see.
We'll talk about that later.
But Grimes is definitely the first quarter at 10-19. He gives way too much cushion to his receiver, as usual. And then the guy, you know, does a little slant to the inside and he catches the ball. Grimes is right there and he doesn't even try to tackle him. He just watches the guy. And he did this a couple of times where, you know, the runner would be coming at him. And he does this a lot, but it was just much more pronounced in this game. You know, he would engage with the blocker, you know, and not try to get released to make the tackle. Or, you know, he would just kind of take a weird angle where you could tell he wasn't going to catch the guy. But he did that quite a few times in this game. And he paid the price one time in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes, 20 seconds left. he goes out wide, and the offensive lineman, 67, Wardford, just steamrolls him. I mean, just clobbers Grimes.
Was it like the lineman had come out for a screen?
Yes, the lineman came out, and you could see Grimes was kind of like trying to avoid him. But then when he couldn't, he tried to go low with him. And man, did that Wardford just killed him. I mean, just hit him, rolled him up, and then landed right on top of him. Yeah, and Grimes, on the film, Grimes really looked small. And then when Wardford landed on him, I was like, man, there's no way he's getting up from that.
Oh, my gosh.
And then there was another play where Mark Ingram runs in for the touchdown. This was kind of the Keystone Cops play again. 53, 31, 24, they all missed tackles. Well, Grimes didn't miss a tackle because he didn't try to tackle. Taylor had a missed tackle. Whitehead came in and he attempted to tackle. He does this a lot too. I brought it up. Whitehead just puts a shoulder into the guy. And Ingram, he just bounced right off of Ingram. And Ingram just kept running. And Grimes stood on his blocker, then went the wrong way, getting in the way of 59 Bond and making him fall down and miss a tackle. And Grimes just pranced around. It was just really strange. You look at that and you go, that's not football. You don't want that out there. I mean, he'll make a tackle, you know, one or two a game, it seems like, but it's kind of when he has no choice. If he has a choice, he's going to avoid the tackle. But this game, he really just looked like he didn't even want to be out there.
Just retire, man. Yeah, like you said, get some kind of injury. What kind of injury did he have earlier in the season where he wasn't playing?
Was it last year when he got the shin?
He was on IR for a while.
Grimes was on IR?
I think so. Maybe not.
I know he was out for a few games.
Right.
And we didn't miss him.
I mean, the good thing about that is, like he discovered with that offensive lineman you talked about a minute ago, is you may be averse to contact, but you're playing against 11 guys that want to hit you.
Yes.
Most likely. So you can't avoid it forever.
Yeah, there's no getting around it if you're going to play football. You got to hit somebody. First play of the game with the offense, Barber dropped a pass. That kind of set the tone.
Mm. Do you think it was the weather, though?
I don't know. I mean, New Orleans didn't seem to have a problem with it.
Right. But they practiced in the rain this week.
Right. In the first quarter at 7:21, Winston throws a deep ball to Godwin, who's double covered. This was just another bad decision on Winston's part. He had two open receivers in the flats. I have no idea why he threw it to Godwin. I mean, they were wide open. The only receiver that was covered was Godwin, and he was double teamed. Even Evans was open over the middle. It was just a really poor decision by Winston. And on that one, Benenock got beat by Cameron Jordan for a quarterback hit.
Was Winston holding the ball too long on that one?
It feels like it. He did that a lot. He just was not making good decisions in this game.
It sounds like he wasn't decisive.
Not decisive at all.
You know, and I wonder if sometimes in the pocket, or not in the pocket, in the huddle, he decides who he's going to throw it to, and then that's just who he goes to.
He will do that, and he's not getting better at that. He's not seeing the field, and he's not looking off safeties, and he doesn't do any pump fakes. That drives me crazy. If he pump faked, he would probably add 100 yards to his tally every game. Because all the defenders, they watch his eyes, and you can see them all adjust, and they know where he's going to throw it before he throws it. You watch it every time. The safeties are running towards the receiver before he lets the ball out of his hand.
He's really easy to read.
He's very easy to read. Fortunately for him, we have good receivers, usually. And Cutter is play calling. There's almost always an open receiver somewhere. But Winston has a hard time seeing him. In the first quarter, with 23 seconds left, Evans was wide open 20 yards downfield. It would have been a touchdown pass for sure, but Winston threw it to Auclair for 12 yards, who was covered. I mean, it wasn't really a bad play by Winston, but he missed a huge opportunity. He just didn't see the field. And he had a clean pocket with no pressure. It was a long play. It was a good 3 seconds. But Evans was running down the field. He had beat his man by a couple steps. There was no safety help. I mean, it was a slam dunk if Winston would have thrown a good pass. But he didn't see him. And Evans does that thing. If anybody watches game film, watch for Evans put his arm up. I'm going to make a collage video of this one day. But when Evans puts his arms up, puts his arm, you know, he'll put his right hand up or his left hand, basically signifying that throw me the ball, I'm open. Every time he does that, you should throw in the ball because he's right. I mean, he is, a lot of times he'll do it right before he's getting ready to break free. It's really interesting to watch. I watch Evans and, you know, I'll watch him and I'll see that arm go up and then I'll see him get open and I'll be like, ah, why didn't they, they should have, you know, you should watch Evans' arms all the time.
None of the other receivers do that?
Well, a lot of receivers will do it every now and then. And a lot of time they do it just because they think they're open. But not Evans. Evans is spot on every time. I've never seen him do that where he does not get open or isn't open. But as soon as he throws that arm up, you should throw him the ball because he's going to be open every time. He's got a good sense of coverage. He knows what guys are going to do out there, it feels like.
So he's got some football sense.
He's got some football sense out there.
And he's a dude that likes to hit people. He likes to fight.
Yeah. There was also an instance in the second quarter, 13-16 left. Winston scrambled for 17 yards, but as he was scrambling, he had an open receiver, Humphreys, 15 yards downfield. Wide open. Again, in this play, it was great blocking by Rodgers, 32. And he ends up fighting with the guy way after the play has passed. They end up going off screen, just duking it out. But, you know, there's a lot of that with Winston. He just seemed, I don't know, scared. Second quarter, 5:20 again, Winston does a throw to Evans, who would beat his man by a step or two. This was down the left sideline. It would have been a huge game. But instead, he scrambles for 6 yards, and he didn't even need to scramble. There was a lot of that in this game.
This week and last week. The Jameis that we saw last week was very composed.
Yeah, and against San Francisco, too.
Yeah.
Past 2 weeks. He's been very composed, making good decisions, calm, relaxed.
So what happened?
Well, the New Orleans Saints were definitely given a lot of strange looks. I mean, they were adjusting coverage at the snap. They did a lot of blitzing, and they were sticking to our receivers very well. They played a lot of man coverage, which this is something that kind of pissed me off when I watched it. We played more zone coverage than I would have liked. Probably it was about a 50-50 split, zone coverage and man coverage. With Drew Brees, you do not play zone coverage. He will pick you apart. And that's what he did. Every time we played zone coverage, he was getting good passes. You know, we really needed to play more man coverage. I would say just about all, you know, switch it up a little bit, but not 50-50 for sure. Way too much zone coverage. But anyhow, their secondary, they were sticking to our receivers like glue. And they were changing their looks up at the snap. And they were just doing a lot of things that I think confused Winston. But he was also, he gets that shaky feeling when he feels like his offensive line isn't protecting him well. And so he'll just start scrambling. And I think he just tries to do too much. You know, you watch Drew Brees, when a defender comes free, he will adjust around, but he'll stay in the pocket. He'll step up, he'll move to the left, he'll move to the right, but he doesn't do a lot of scrambling around. And you get that with Matt Ryan, you get that with Tom Brady. You know, they know how to maneuver around in the pocket. And a lot of times we would have a defender come free, but then an offensive lineman would pick him up. But Winston would already, as soon as the defender started to come free, or he felt like he was coming free, Winston would just scramble. And he just doesn't have any faith in his offensive lineman.
How do you fix that? Is it a chemistry thing with him and the offensive line, or the offensive linemen together don't have great chemistry?
I think they're getting really good chemistry, to be honest with you. That's what I was saying with Benenock. It seems like he's starting to work really well with Jensen and Dotson. Marpet and Smith have good chemistry. Jensen's got good chemistry with everybody, both guards. I don't know. I think they're coming together as a decent offensive line. You know, they're not the wet paper bag sieve that they have been in the past. I just think Winston is just so used to getting blindsided from Smith's side and having somebody get free up the middle. I don't know. I just think he got happy feet way too quick in this game.
I think he's so self-conscious about making mistakes that he's getting a little squirrely, too.
Yes. He's definitely, he knows everybody's watching him. He's trying to impress and
win,
mm-hmm.
but then not screw up.
Right. And then when you got your offensive line is making mistakes here and there, you got your receivers making mistakes here and there, and he's making mistakes here and there. I think it was just too much for him to overcome. I mean, he had in the second quarter, 222, again, just another bad decision, not seeing the field. He had Humphreys wide open, 25 yards down the field, and Winston didn't see him. But again, he scrambled for a bit and then threw a check down pass. I don't know. I think he needs to get that scrambling mentality. Only use it sparingly.
Yeah.
He's using it too much. You know, he's sitting back there, and if he feels like the pocket's getting ready to collapse or something like that, he just takes off. And he needs to have the patience. Let the offensive linemen do their job. If they fail and he gets hit, then so be it, you know.
I think that's one of Fitz's strengths, is he uses his legs sparingly. He'll take off.
But only when he has to.
When he has to.
When he sees that he's going to pick up some big yardage.
Yeah, an opportunity.
Right. Winston is scrambling anytime he senses that one of the linemen might be having trouble. And a lot of times, a lot of these sacks that he got Sunday were his fault. You know, he would scramble too soon and he would run away from his protection, and then the defense would just catch up with him. He did third quarter, 10:42. He scrambled again when he didn't have to. Fourth quarter, 10:47. He threw a bad pass to Humphreys. Humphreys was wide open, and he still had to jump for it. It went off his hands. Now, this pass might have been tipped at the line. Somebody got their hands up. I saw it, and it was so close to the football. I'm not sure. You know, there's no – but if it was, it was just a little bit tipped, just enough to make it go up a little bit. And it might have been, so I don't know if it was a bad pass by Winston or whatever. But anyhow, Humphreys was wide open, and he ended up having to jump up for it, and it went off his hands. He threw another bad pass at 6:39 in the fourth quarter. This is when we were down 25-14. Donovan Smith gets beat by 93 Onyemata, or whatever his name is, on a stunt for quarterback pressure. But it was 3 seconds. I mean, Winston had time to get rid of the ball. And then he ended up just throwing it at Rodgers' feet. Mm. I don't know what that was about. Rodgers was open. He just threw it right at his feet. It was just a bad pass. And then right after that, gosh, this was just such a horrible series. Next play, he throws a pass that was too high to Humphreys. I mean, Humphreys could have caught it. It went off his hands again. But in that play, Benenock got beat by 47 and Anzalone. he hit Winston. And that's probably why it was a bad pass, because he hit him as soon as he threw the ball.
Oh. So
it was almost intercepted, too.
Ugh.
And then the next play after that, Winston had two open receivers. Godwin and Rodgers were wide open, and he had 3.22 seconds before he felt pressure. Now, Jensen gets beat, but it was kind of a matter of confusion. This is the one where Benenock and Jensen were double-teaming the guy, and Sheldon Rankins, and then Rankins jumps back and forth, acts like he's going to go forward towards Jensen's. So Benenock turns to help Dotson, and Jensen, in the meantime, doesn't see Benenock, had turned around, and he thought he was still helping. So Jensen turns to see if Marpet needs help, thinking Benenock had Rankins. But they both thought the other guy had him, and he ended up going and getting sacked. He got a sack on Winston. Now, Winston should have thrown the ball much sooner. Now, this was definitely Winston's fault here, along with Benenock and Jensen. But Winston had plenty of time to get it out. But like I said, there was two open receivers. I don't know why he didn't throw the ball. He started to scramble, and then Rankins just closed in on him and took him down. Winston just seems like he's trying to use his feet too much. But I really hate, and he hasn't been doing this past couple of games, but when he's not seeing the field, when he's not seeing Evans or somebody wide open down the field, that just drives me crazy, because you rarely see it with elite quarterbacks. Drew Brees actually had a couple this game. Drew Brees was not on point. Drew Brees was not playing well. And I'll chalk that up to our defensive line and secondary as well, but he was not playing like he normally does. But normally, Drew Brees, if there's an open receiver, he's going to get the ball to him. Matt Ryan's the best in the business at that. I don't think I've ever seen Matt Ryan not see an open receiver downfield.
He's tall. He can see over his line.
Yeah, he's tall. But he looks for that. He scans the field back there. He's not looking for routes as much as he is looking for defenders that have fallen down, or guys that are beat their defenders or whatever. That's what it appears like to me, that Matt Ryan plays. He plays to look for mistakes in the defense instead of playing to look at how the offense can beat the defense.
And he's got a fast release too, right?
Yeah, fast and perfect. Man,
so he's getting out the ball quickly. He's finding the open receivers. He's seeing when the defense makes a mistake. Like, how's he doing that in less than 3 seconds?
Right, yeah, he's just...
I can't really blame Winston.
Yeah.
If that's true. If it takes him 3 seconds, like, I don't know if I could either.
Yeah, technically, Ryan's the best in the league, I think, but that's just my personal opinion. Let's talk about some good stuff. How about JPP? Man, did he play well. He just really, really played. I mean, he had a batted ball. He was making tackles. He was getting off blocks. He actually had maybe the best game, best play of the game in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes, 56 seconds left. He takes 74, who's trying to block him as a left tackle, and just swipes him, just grabs him by the side and throws him. I mean, literally throws him, and the guy lands on the ground. It was like, wow, that was a lot of power. JPP looked really pissed.
Oh.
Yeah, and he just threw the guy to the ground, and he ends up getting in the backfield tackling the runner. He got him by the ankles, and the runner fell forward for a yard, but it would have been a TFL if JPP would have hit him higher or whatever. But it was just an excellent, excellent play by JPP. I mean, he just threw that guy to the ground.
Well, like I said, he did not have a good game the first time we played the Saints. So I was curious whether he was going to come out and play angry.
He did. He was all over the place.
You didn't listen to our preview podcast? I said that.
But yeah, he had about five or six really, really good plays. Vita Vea had some good stuff too. But mainly it's just his strength. He's really getting control of that. He's getting where he's seeing the field. He's getting off blocks. He's making plays. But you have to double team this guy. And that doesn't work sometimes. Quite a few times that he, in this game, you know, he split a double team and made the tackle.
He's good with a bull rush too, right?
Yeah, that's all he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll do stunts. And you'll see him like try moves every now and then. But yeah, no, his go-to is just go forward and plow forward.
How do him and Gerald McCoy work together? Because that's Gerald McCoy's thing is his speed. So if Vita is taking double teams from him, I'm just curious what his performance is like. Like whether they're a good tandem.
I am disappointed in McCoy in that aspect. You know, one of the biggest knocks he's always had, or not knocks, but things he's always complained about and people have said, is that he gets double teamed all the time. He doesn't get double teamed all the time. He gets double teamed maybe a little bit more than some three tech defensive tackles, but not a whole lot. I mean, there's plenty of times where he's not double teamed.
Well, but if you're doing the math, there's five offensive linemen and four defensive linemen. So chances are good somebody's getting double teamed.
Right. Yeah. And we don't do a lot of blitzes. So, you know, you normally double team the left defensive tackle, but McCoy gets I don't know. He's always gotten a little bit more double teaming, but not a whole lot. He's definitely not double teamed on every play. But now with Vea in there, they have to double team that guy. And McCoy's just not getting – we're not getting the production out of McCoy I want to see. He had one good play, and it was a really good play in this game. Second quarter, 11-17 – he beat 75 for a hit on the quarterback. He clobbered Breeze on this play too, man. But and you know that's rare because they don't get to sack Drew Breeze a whole lot.
Yeah,
and he took advantage of this one. He didn't sack him, but he got a hit on him and just plowed right through him. It's good to see. But then later in the fourth quarter at 9:31, McCoy looks pissed, and I've never seen this from Gerald McCoy. He gets caught up with Andreas Pete, number 75 again, and he pushes him to the ground. And then when he gets him on the ground, he like, I don't know, like yanks his hand back, some type of violent movement. He was like he was pissed at the guy for, I don't know if the guy did something to him or whatever, but, and then McCoy, you know, McCoy's usually, you know, he'll help people up or whatever. He just stepped over the dude. I swear it looked like he kicked him, dragged his foot over him or something. Never, ever seen McCoy act like that.
No. That's good. I'd like to see an angry McCoy.
I would, too.
A little bit of fight in you.
They dropped Vea back in coverage a couple of times. I don't understand that. That's got to be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I mean, that guy can't jump 4 inches.
Well, they've done it to Nassib, too. He's been in coverage before.
Yeah, and they do it to all the – even Bo Allen went into coverage in this game. We ran some really strange defenses in this game, but just putting Vita Vea – I can understand Nassib or JPP. He goes back into coverage every now and then, too. But Vea? I mean, come on, man. Seriously, the guy can't jump 4 inches. What's he going to do? I mean, unless they throw the ball directly at him.
Bat a ball down. I mean, he's pretty tall, too, right?
Yeah, but when you're standing 15 yards off the line of scrimmage, you know, the ball ain't going to be able to be batted down.
Is he on a receiver, though?
No, he just runs back and plays zone in the middle of the field.
Oh.
But he's just standing there. That's basically what he's doing. He's just standing there. I mean, his zone is about 3 feet around him. That's all he can cover.
He's got some speed, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, for a big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now let's get to the refs. Man, did they screw up again. We had Jerome Booger in this one. Bill Schuster, Mike Carr, Rusty Baines, Tony Sterotter.
Sterotor. Is that Gene's brother, probably?
Probably. Jonah Monroe and Anthony Jeffries.
Jerome, he's a pretty big one, right? Jerome Booger?
Don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, the head, him. The yeah. head, yeah. But they just had, oh man, I saw a lot of holding with the New Orleans Saints offensive line. Now, they've gotten a good offensive line. They always have had a good offensive line. But they do a lot of grabbing and yanking. There was actually, in the fourth quarter, 5:19 left, Vita Vea gets yanked down by 75, and 67 yanks McCoy down. They just grabbed him by the inside of their shoulder pads or by their sides, and they'll just yank them down real quick. Made them both go to the ground. And how the refs didn't see that, I don't know. When you got two defensive linemen, they just collapse on the ground. Yeah. But they had some really just bad refereeing again. First quarter, 5:18, Smith gets beat by 57, Okafor. That's Donovan Smith. He gets beat to slow the running back for a tackle for a loss. Smith should have been called for a block in the back here. Plus, while he's turned around watching the play, 53, Klein runs right past him and makes the tackle for a loss. How the refs didn't see that. I mean, he just blocked the guy right in the back. Of course, that was a call that went in our favor, or a non-call. But then in the first quarter, 1:57, another complete BS call. This is the one where 52 Lynch runs downfield. This is during the kickoff or a punt. Lynch is running downfield beside a Saints player, and they end up bumping shoulders as the Saint player tries to turn a bit. And both of them fell down, but the ref threw a flag on Lynch for a block in the back. He was 30 yards away when he threw the flag. I don't know how he could have possibly seen this, but he didn't hit. Lynch did not hit this guy in the back. They were running side by side, and the guy turned into Lynch, and Lynch bumped into his shoulder, and they both fell down. The ref just, you know, probably saw it out of the corner of his eye and said, "Oh, that's block in the back," and that really screwed us because it was a good punt return by Humphreys. I think it was 21 yards, and it got pulled back. We had a horrible field position in this game. I think it was 3 or 4 times we started, you know, back in our red zone. Ugh. Whereas they got great field position 3 or 4 times. They started on our side of the field or close to it. And one time they started, you know, the black block punt. They started on our
like the 20 or something, yeah. 30.
Another bad referee call. Second quarter, 4:31. This was the one on Jensen for unnecessary roughness. And man, does this piss me off.
You can say
I was trying to say P.O., but it's just, you know, these guys are supposed to play through the whistle. That's what you want from football players. And Jensen got called for this exact same thing last week, and it pissed me off. You know, he's blocking, the play's still going, he hits a guy, they blow the whistle, then they flag him for unnecessary roughness. What? How do you do that? It just doesn't make any sense. Go back and watch the film, guys. Jensen hits this guy before the whistle's blown, and they flag him for unnecessary roughness. Now, they could have got him for a block in the back because he did block him in the back. He did push the guy from the back. But they got him for unnecessary roughness. That's a much bigger penalty.
Which is 15 yards.
Right.
And this is the one where him and Winston were going at it on the sideline after, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Second quarter, 29 seconds left. Should have been a chop block called on Barber here. Again, how the refs didn't see this, I don't know. This is also the play where Dotson got pushed into Winston's knee, and it kind of bowed back. Winston looked really hurt.
Yeah.
Took him a while to get up. But Barber definitely should have been caught on a chop block there. Third quarter, 8-13, Dotson was holding his guy, playing an obvious. Refs missed that one. Now, here's one that really pissed me off. Third quarter, 5:57 left. Michael Thomas is running out for a route. Levante David is covering Kamara. Kamara's coming out of the backfield, so David's running over to cover him. Michael Thomas actually reaches out and grabs David's arm as he's running by, causing David to slow down just a little bit. And David still runs, and he ends up catching up with Kamara. But Kamara ended up getting like 12 yards or something. But David would have been there and stopped that catch if he wouldn't have got slowed down by that thing. And you see David is not happy about this. He gets up in the ref's face, and he's like, you know, you can see him, you know, pointing over to, you know, saying, hey, the guy was holding me, grabbed my arm and everything. And then he goes over to Thomas and points in his face. Oh. And he said, you can tell he's saying something. He's probably saying, don't, you know, I'm going to lay you out next time you try some crap like that again.
Which that's unusual for him. He's usually really cool and collected and...
Yeah, you don't see him complaining to the refs a whole lot.
Yeah.
But that one, again, it was just so blatant. He just runs. Thomas runs by him, and Thomas actually changes his route. You could see that. And New Orleans did this a lot in this game. They do a lot of crossing routes. They have the receivers go across the middle from both sides, and it works. There was one. We had a Keystone Kott play where Whitehead got caught up in the mix, ended up running into two of our players and getting spin around and falling down. And then his guy was left wide open, and Drew Brees made a pass for, I think, 21 yards. They do that a lot where they it's basically pick plays. And in this play, you see Thomas go out. He's going in and running his route, and he sees David coming across to cover Kamara. So Thomas changes his route to get in David's way, but he's not going to get there in time. So that's when he reaches out and grabs him by the arm. Mm. And it wasn't a huge grab, but it was just enough to pull David's arm behind him and slow him down just a fraction of a second that caused him not to be able to get to Kamara before he caught the pass. He would have intercepted it, I think. Third quarter, 4 minutes and 43 seconds left. Definitely should have been a illegal use of the hands to the face call on David Onyemata, 93 with the Saints. I mean, he grabbed Benenock by the throat, lifted his head back, and pushed him all the way back to Winston. This wasn't like, you know, just quick hands to the face or anything. This was a good second and a half he had his hands. And you can see Benenock's head is tilted back. He's looking straight up in the air. How did the refs miss that?
Which isn't that kind of the point of the rule, you know?
Yeah. And
wow.
You know, Benenock, of course, runs right over to the refs after the thing, and he's complaining to it, right? Rightfully so. And that's Winston ended up getting sacked on that play. But it, you know, there was two refs stand right there behind the quarterback. How they didn't see that is beyond me.
Just bad officiating.
Very bad officiating. I'm trying to think of the word for it. I can't think of one. Just bad. A fourth quarter, 14-29. It was pretty funny. I'm watching the game tape, and all of a sudden, all these Buccaneer beads come flying up in front of the camera. Apparently, somebody in the crowd or the seats had thrown their beads up in the air. It was about five of them.
Oh,
it was
my.
Pretty funny looking.
Did it get in the way of the play?
No, it was right before the ball was snapped. But, you know, it's funny. You're just sitting there watching, and all of a sudden you see all these weird things come up on the screen. You're like, what the heck is that? But on this play, Vita Vea gets held. He still gets his arm out to try to tackle the runner. And then he ends up throwing the guy that held him, Larry Warford, number 67, just throws him to the ground. I mean, Vea's got some power, man. I mean, he just picks a guy, just throws him straight to the ground. He throws a lot of people to the ground. And this play, Whitehead had missed a tackle, and David was turned around saying something to Whitehead before the ball was snapped. And so the ball was snapped. David didn't have his head turned around completely. So he was a little late.
And then
late.
They took advantage of Whitehead being thrown off, too.
Yes. Ingram ended up getting 12 yards for this one. But it was mainly because Vea was held at the line of scrimmage. Ingram runs right past Vea, and he gets his arm out. But 67, Warford's holding him. It's just as plain as day. And then Vea just gets pissed off at him, throws him to the ground. But, yeah, missed tackles. We had quite a few missed tackles in this game, too. I didn't keep track of them. But we, We had more than I liked, probably about six. That seems to be par for the course with us. Fourth quarter, 11:46. We got called for an illegal double team block, unnecessary roughness on 82 Eau Claire. Now, this is a new rule with the kickoffs. I don't know if everybody knows, but they've changed everything about kickoffs. The way you're you stand in formation, the way you block, everything has been changed. You know, the guys now on offense, they can't get a running start on the kick. They have to be a yard behind the ball when it's kicked. They can't move before the ball is kicked. But also on the receiving side, they have to have nine guys in within 15 yards of the ball being kicked. It's called the setup zone. No players can form a wedge, which is considered two or more players intentionally aligning shoulder to shoulder within 2 yards of each other.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I know. This is extremely ridiculous. And these two players have to move forward together in an attempt to block for the runner. Now, that is straight from the rule book. So I went through and I watched all of the kickoffs to see how many plays could have been flagged for this. And there really wasn't that many, but there was a few. Because it's just, how are these guys supposed to block if they can't get within 2 yards of each other and going forward at the same time? You see what I'm saying?
Well, can the kicking team do it?
Yeah, the kicking team can do whatever they want. They now have to line up all the way across the line. They can't do that where they overload one side. Right. They have to have five guys on each side of the ball now. It's stupid. They're just really trying to kill kickoffs completely. They're doing a good job of it, too. But this one, Eau Claire comes running from the other side, and he teams up with, I can't remember who it was, the other guy on the other side. And they do get shoulder to shoulder, but Eau Claire stops and plants his feet. Now, the other guy he's with kind of moves forward and they end up blocking this guy, but it wasn't a big deal. It really wasn't. But Eau Claire planted his feet. He wasn't moving forward when he made contact with this guy. So technically, there shouldn't have been a flag. It's a stupid rule. And I think even Barber said it's the first time he's seen the call this year, but it definitely was not a wedge. I mean, you can see these guys, they didn't get together and run forward and block a guy. So it was just a BS call. Then right after that, Dotson gets called for a face mask. He did not grab this guy's face mask. Even in the replay, they showed it. Barber was like, but of course he didn't call the refs out. I hate that about announcers. They never really call the refs out. But yeah, Dotson did grab his face mask. He did grab him by the pads and he grazed his face mask, but he didn't grab his face mask. It could have either been holding or hands to the face, but again, it was another 15-yard penalty. Just these refs are just getting too crazy. And then the last call, the last play of the game that we had the ball when Winston threw the interception, Dotson should have been called for holding on that. He got called for holding the play before it. He should have been called on holding for this one. So anyhow, that we didn't play spectacularly bad. Our secondary didn't have a bunch of wide open receivers. They weren't able to run over top of us. It's not like the offense couldn't do anything. We just, it was just a few mistakes here and there by almost everybody on the field. The offensive line made a few mistakes. Winston made a few mistakes. Special teams made a few mistakes. And those added up. We definitely lost this game. The Saints didn't do anything to beat us. We beat ourselves.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
Considering our schedule coming up, we play the Ravens, not Dallas. We've had it in our heads for like 2 weeks now that we play Dallas coming up.
I think we said that in the podcast.
I know.
I think we do that every week.
I think we do too. I know.
We need to have like a schedule chart sitting up there or something.
Embarrassing. Bad information we're dispersing.
But yeah, if we just play on time, and Winston was a really big factor in this game for the loss.
He really set the tone, you think?
Yeah, that's the problem with relying so much on a quarterback, on one person. If they have a bad day, the team has a bad day.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't overcome all the little mistakes. We had the opportunity. We got the ball in the fourth quarter. We could have driven down the field, but the fourth quarter, we'd get the ball and we would just screw up with penalties, bad decisions. And, it wasn't like we were getting beat. We were just beating ourselves.
Yeah. Is that all you got for us?
Yeah, I would say, you know, JPP once again was the star on defense. 53 Taylor, he did very well.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear his name.
Yes, finally. You know, I was big on him in preseason last year, I think it was, when his name was Glanton.
Yeah.
And then he changed his name, and I thought he was off the team. I was like, who is this Taylor guy? What happened to Glanton?
Took his number.
Yeah. But he had some good plays. He avoided blocks, got in the backfield. He was all over the place. And that interception he had on Breeze with the screen pass was just beautiful. He read it all day. And, you know, it's hard to intercept Drew Breeze.
Yeah, it's his fourth of the season.
What they have on turnovers, I know they had the block punt. Did they have any other turnovers? No. Oh, the interception at the end. So they had two turnovers. We had two
Technically,
turnovers.
Technically, they had two.
Yeah, that last one shouldn't even count.
Right.
Should be an asterisk beside it.
Right.
On offense, I'd have to give it to 32.
Rodgers.
He played very well again. He had great pass protection back there. He was picking guys up, and, you know, he had some good some decent rushes and some catches for yardage.
He's our unsung hero.
He really is. Him and Barber both are very good back there in pass protection.
Okay, you ready to move on to the news?
Let's do the news. What do we got?
Let's do the news. So the NFL just announced that there's going to be a series of international games next year. Five.
What?
Yep, in 2019. And the Bucks have one of them.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're going to play a home game abroad. We lost a home game.
Who is playing abroad? Who did they pick?
The Jaguars, the LA Rams, LA Chargers, the Raiders, wherever they are now, or 2019, and the Bucks.
All small market teams. They're depriving all those teams from one home game.
Yep. Yeah. So it'll be four will play in London, and one plays in Mexico City.
Ugh.
But
sucks for the home team. You know, it's just, you just get robbed.
Well, it's saying, okay, so those are the home teams. There's five NFL games to be played internationally. So these are the home teams, and then there's got to be an away team that's going to come and play them. So that's going to be 10 teams.
They don't have the away teams yet?
No.
Well, you know, for the away teams, it's not as bad because they'd have to travel anyhow. I mean, that's a lot longer travel. I'm not a big fan of this. I don't understand what they're trying to do, but, you know, they're just trying to expand the NFL's reach, I guess. But, man, these guys have to travel a lot, and then making them travel overseas, you got jet lag, and it's just not right. And again, you're robbing fans of a home team game while at the same time robbing the players of a home team game. You know, they're not going to be playing on with their crowd and all that stuff. It's just, I think it's BS. But what do I know?
And remember the last London game we played
I do not want to remember that.
The Raheem Morris era.
Oh, God, that was a disaster.
Where we
that
just
started it all.
Imploded.
That was the game that started this decade trend of crap we've been in. That game right there.
Ugh, yeah. So we get to look forward to that. So, and then those games, they play them at like 9:30 in the morning, too.
Yeah.
Ralph and I are not up that early on a weekend. So,
maybe we should send Roger Goodell a letter. Are you trying to make me wake up at 9:30 on a Sunday morning?
So I mentioned earlier, Steven Chia. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, he's a fan that breaks down film, and he's been doing it for a few years, I think, on Twitter, called out Donovan Smith for a bad play.
Mm-hmm.
And Donovan Smith, like, fired back at him. And
ooh,
said,
he did.
Yeah. He basically said, like, you don't know what you're talking about, and got real shitty about it.
What did he say?
He said, bruh, don't post anything else, especially when you don't know a thing that you're talking about. Don't ever question my effort playing. You're not even a credible source, but you dress it up like you are.
Dang.
Yeah. So he got real pissy about it. And Steven Chia is just like, hey, tell me how I'm wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong. And he wouldn't do it. So, He said, Donovan Smith said, but you're highlighting something and portraying something to the public that's completely false.
How is it false? I mean, you can
film be false? Exactly.
Yeah, you can see he just gave no effort on that play.
Yeah, so explain what the problem is. I think if you're going to attack a fan who's showing where you're screwing up and then not saying why it's wrong, you're just not doing yourself any favors. And he's not winning any fans over that way either. Because we've all been saying it all season since he's been here.
Yeah, we've been saying it for quite a few seasons.
And he does nothing to improve his play. And then he gets mad when you call him out on it. I don't like his attitude. This is where I don't fault D-Jax. You can see on the game film that D-Jax does not give effort sometimes, but he to this day is still saying, I want to be a Buccaneer. I want to return to the field this year. Mm-hmm. I want to be a Buccaneer next year. He's not calling out Winston. He said about Winston that, quote, honestly, it's growing pains. It's just part of the process. Hopefully it will work out. Like I say, if it's not this year, then next year, you never know how it plays out. After all the crap that he's been through with this team, with everyone talking about him, with no effort given on the field, with all that, and he's still in the media saying it's
positive
growing
pains. Yeah.
Positive stuff.
Yes.
And then you got Donovan Smith acting like a child.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be on the record here. I like Donovan Smith. I like him as a person. I like him on the team. I think he needs competition over there or something.
Maybe it takes being benched, like with Jameis. Maybe that's what you need, a hard dose of reality, how much competition has he ever had at that position?
He's never had any competition at that position. And I'm a big fan of that. You know, I think it's good for Winston to have the competition. I think it's good for Donovan Smith to have some competition. I think Gerald McCoy has always needed competition since he's been here, but he's never had any. It just makes people play better. And if they don't play better, then that's when your competitor gets a chance to come in and beat you. Yeah. I mean, that's what this is all about. This is entertainment, but it's guy entertainment. Guy entertainment is all about competition.
Right.
And if you're not competing with anybody, you're not giving it your all. All guys know this. We all know it. And Donovan Smith has never had any competition at that left tackle position. I like him. I like him as a person. I don't want to see him leave the team. I just want to see him play better.
Well, and that's what Stephen Chia said. He's like, we're all rooting for you. We always root for the Buccaneers. You know, we root for their Buccaneers, for the people on our team. We want to see you do better. We want to see you succeed here.
Right. And that's what fans should do. Exactly what they should do. Fans should point the stuff out, but then encourage them to get better.
Exactly.
You know, let them know that we're watching and we're seeing this mess.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you can't just walk around and go, oh, Bucks fans don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, you can't just say that. You're not qualified. What do you mean I'm not qualified? I'm the most qualified because I watched the game.
Yeah, and I have two eyes.
I have two eyes.
And the coach's film.
Right. You know, we got a bunch of guys out here studying coach's film. Yeah, we might not be professional coaches or, you know, been involved in football for 30 years or everything. But, you know, I've been watching football my whole life. Damn near 50 years, half a century almost.
Right.
And I think I know a little bit about football, but I can definitely look on the screen and see when somebody's not trying or when somebody falls down.
Or when they're watching the play happen.
Yeah, or when you're turned around watching the quarterback as an offensive lineman. That's never a good look.
I mean, there's a few cardinal rules, I think, of being on the offensive line. Looking at your quarterback is probably number one.
Yeah.
And don't help tackle him, number two.
We've had that a couple of times. Who was it, Beninock? Two guys got past Beninock, and he turned around and he ran.
I was running with them. Winston.
Yeah, he was running with the defenders towards Winston. That was so hilarious.
I'm sure Winston thinks it's very funny.
Me and Molly laughed about that one for a good 20 minutes. We were making all kinds of scenarios about what Beninock was thinking. If you can't beat him, join him.
here's a little promising statistic. Totally arbitrary. Let's just get it out of the way right here now. For weeks 7 through 14, the 2018 NFL most sacks are the New Orleans Saints with 29, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with 25.
Yay.
So we're number two. Kansas City Chiefs with 25, Denver Broncos with 24, and Washington Redskins with 24. So we're second in sacks in the week 7 over, through 14.
Over this certain time period where we just happen to be second in sacks.
Yeah, and it makes us look good.
Yeah.
But whatever, that's a good statistic.
Well, I could definitely say, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Mike Smith getting fired. I just don't like getting pitchforks out for people that are on the Buccaneers staff. But it's definitely helped.
Yeah.
I mean, our defense was horrible underneath him. And Duffner's come in, and I really like the way these guys are playing. And these are all young, inexperienced guys that are out there playing good football against good football teams.
Levante David had an episode of Bucks Insider or something, the one with Casey Phillips, I think. And he said that Duffner is different because he gets input from the players.
I saw that.
Come up with the game plan, the coaches do, and then they come to the players and really talk to them and get their input. And, you know, it's more of a team thing.
Yeah, Duffner seems to be a very player's coach.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes that can really go either way.
Yeah, you look at Raheem Morris.
Right. But I think that Duffner has their respect, and he is kind of an authority figure.
They're obviously playing hard for him. I do wish that he would get a better tackling technique for these guys to use, but they're out there busting their butt. They're not slacking off other than Grimes. And, you know, I like Duffner. I think he's doing a good job. I like some of the stuff he's putting on the field. I found it strange in that thing where Levante was talking about it, where he said he's never had a coach that's done that before. And he's gone through Schiano, Lovey, who are the defensive coordinators. Anyhow, he's never had a coach that's ever asked him for advice.
Right.
I found that strange.
Especially because he's got such good football instinct. He's really an instinctual player.
Right.
So I think he's got a unique perspective and a lot to offer to a game plan.
Yeah, he had a great play in this game where the Saints were, I think, on the 2 or 3 yard line, and they threw a pass to the outside receiver. And then the other two wide receivers that were over there, they had three wide receivers on the left, threw a pass to the outside receiver, and then he came in. The two receivers were blocking for the receiver that caught the ball, and it was supposed to be a quick pass. And the wide receiver gets in behind these two blockers and then just dives in for the touchdown. I mean, it was a simple play, but it's kind of tricky at the same time. David knew what was happening before it even. So you could see it. He lines up and he looks over at the receivers, and then he looks back at Drew Brees, and then he looks over and he edges his way over. And as soon as Drew Brees threw the ball, he shot over there and got the guy. He didn't tackle him, but he slowed him down just enough to where defenders could come in and tackle him. It was great. They did it. It was a great stand on the goal line that they had, but then Drew Brees ended up on fourth down jumping over and putting the ball. That was so annoying.
Like, you don't know that's coming, though.
Yeah. Well, they tried to stop it, but whatever.
I know.
It's hard to stop that close to the game, to the goal line.
That's true. So they just announced today the NFL the salary cap increase, and projections are in the range of $187 million.
Holy crap!
To $191 million.
Whoa!
I swear, in like 2012, it was like $140 million. So it's up 40%. Increase in just 5 years since the 2014 season. Yeah, okay. It was $133 million in 2014.
Wow, man, that is crazy. Everybody's going to get a pay raise.
Yeah.
That's good for us. I mean, we've been under the cap forever, and you got to hand it to our front office for that.
Yeah, so we're going to have $15 million in cap space.
You mean extra with this new stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll be able to sign a bunch of people. Good. Hope we don't give it to Donovan Smith.
I know, right? So if we get rid of DeSean Jackson, that's a $10 million cap hit. Vinny Curry, $8 million. DeMar Dotson, $4.8 million. and William Golston 3.75. That would give us 25 million in cap space. I mean, obviously, that's not ideal. Some of those people we still want, but I think there's just everyone's kind of playing with the numbers.
Yeah. It's kind of like fantasy football. You just sit around and play with numbers.
Right, exactly. So I'll go over the injury report. Today's Wednesday, so they had the first one out this week, and then we can wrap it up. Carlton Davis was limited. DeMar Dotson was limited. Justin Evans didn't participate. D-Jax didn't participate. Isaiah Johnson with a concussion didn't participate. So this is week two for him that he hasn't been in practice. I guess he's probably got to clear the protocol, huh?
I guess.
Gerald McCoy was limited and JPP was limited. So three of the four limited guys are kind of our older guys that are beat up a little bit. They're used to that, you know? They expect it. I'm sure they'll all play. Baltimore's injury report, Michael Crabtree didn't participate, but that's not injury related, so I wonder if they give their old guys some time off, you know, during the week, like the Steelers did and the Carolina did. Joe Flacco had full participation, but I think that Lamar Jackson's playing.
That's what I heard. He was going to start.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're doing there.
Man, last time we played Baltimore, they absolutely destroyed us.
Remember? Did they?
Yeah, Joe Flacco had 5 touchdowns in the first half.
Oh, my gosh. No, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was really, really ugly.
Cornerback Marlon Humphrey didn't participate. Tony Jefferson didn't participate. That's a safety. Anthony Levine, a defensive back, didn't participate. And Tavon Young, a cornerback, didn't participate. So they've got quite a few people on their injury report.
Can't have enough as far as I'm concerned.
I know.
Yeah, last time we played them was when we had just traded Jeremy Zuda.
Actually,
did we trade him or just cut him and they picked him up? I can't remember.
I think we cut him.
But anyhow, he ended up starting for them at center or left guard. I can't remember. And they just beat the mess out of us. I remember seeing McCoy get thrown, literally thrown 6 yards.
By Zuda.
And then Zuda stood over top of him. I was like, ugh.
Some bad blood there.
Bad blood there or something.
He's not there anymore, though, right?
Zuda? No, they released him a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a tough game. We'll delve into that. Now, we might not get a podcast out for the preview. We're going to try. We're going to be traveling for the next week or so, probably the next 2 weeks. If we do get a podcast out, it'll probably be not good audio quality. We'll probably do it on our phones or something. But we're going to try to get the preview out and let you know what we think and give our fantastic on-point predictions again.
Right, for the Dallas game.
We're going to let y'all know this Sunday how Dallas is going to do.
Right.
That should wrap it up, guys. Until then, you can get in touch with us through our email, mollybay@buccaneersobserver.com or ralph@buccaneersobserver.com. You can keep in touch with us and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @bucks_observer. Or you can go to our website, see the content we have there, leave us a comment, a message. We do love to hear your feedback at buccaneersobserver.com. Until then, guys.
Go Bucks!